namo bhagavate vasudevaya. So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 74, The Deliverance of Shishupal. This is text 19 through to 24. Arhati achyutak seishtyam. Arhati achyutya shrestyam. Bhagavan satvatam patihi. Bhagavan satvatam patihi. Esha vai devatak sarva. Esha vai devatak sarva. Desha kala dananjayaha. Desha kala danandayaha. Arhati yachutak shrestam. Bhagavan satvatam patihi. 18 through to 24. Esha vai devatak sarva. Esha kala danandayaha. Arhati yachutak shrestyam. Bhagavan satvatam patihi. Esha vai devatak sarva. Desha kala dananjayaha. Arhati yachutak shrestyam. Bhagavan satvatam patihi. Esha vai devatak sarva. Desha kala danandayaha. Bhagavan satvatam patihi. Vata sarva. Kala danandaya. Hai Treta Sesta Sadvatam Patihi. Arhati deserves. He indeed. Achyutaha, infallible Krishna. Shreshtyam, the supreme position. Bhagavan, the supreme Lord. Satvatam, of the Yadavas. Patihi, the chief. Eshaha, he. Vai, certainly. Devataha, demigods. Sarvaha, all. Desha, the place for the sacrifice. Kala, the time. Dhana, the material paraphernalia. Adayaha, and so on. Translation. Sahadev said, certainly it is Achyuta, the Supreme Personality of Godhead and chief of the Yadavas, who deserves the highest position. In truth, he himself comprises all the demigods worshipped in sacrifice, along with such aspects of the worship as the sacred place, the time, and the paraphernalia. In response, please. Sahadev said, certainly it is Achyuta, the supreme personality of Godhead and chief of the Yadavas, who deserves the highest position. In truth, he himself comprises all the demigods worshipped in sacrifice, along with such aspects of the worship as the sacred place, the time, and the paraphernalia. So I'll read the next few verses just personally. Yadatmakam idam vishvam kratavascha yadatmakaha agnir atyutahutayo mantra sankhyam yogascha yad paraha eka evad vidyosav etat atma yam ad idam jagat atmanatma shraya shavya srijatya vati hantyaja. Translation. This entire universe is founded upon him, as are the great sacrificial performances with their sacred fires, oblations and mantras. Sankhya and Yoga both aim towards him, the one without a second. O assembled members, that unborn Lord, relying solely on himself, creates, maintains and destroys this cosmos by his personal energies, and thus the existence of this universe depends on him alone. Text 22. Vividaniha karmani janayan yad avekshaya ihate yat ayam sarva shreya dharma dilakshanam. He creates the many activities of this world, and thus by his grace the whole world endeavours for the ideals of religiosity, economic development, sense gratification and liberation. Tasmat krishnaya mahate Diyatam paranarhanam evam chet sarabhutanam atmanascharhanam bhavet. Therefore we should give the highest honour to Krishna, the Supreme Lord. If we do so, we will be honoured. We will be honouring all living beings and also our own selves. Sarvabhutatmabhutaya Krishnayanaya darshine deyam shantaya purnaya datasayannan jam ichyata. Translation. Anyone who wishes the honour he gives to be reciprocated infinitely should honour Krishna, the perfectly peaceful and perfectly complete soul of all beings. the Supreme Lord who views nothing as separate from him, purport by his divine grace, purport by the servants of his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada writes as follows. Sahadev said, "Ladies and gentlemen, it is superfluous to speak about Krishna, because every one of you exalted personalities knows the Supreme Brahman, Lord Krishna, for whom there are no material differences between body and soul, between energy and energetic, or between one part of the body and another. Since everyone is part and parcel of Krishna, there is no qualitative difference between Krishna and all living entities. Everything is an emanation of Krishna's energies, the material and spiritual energies. Krishna's energies are like the heat and light of fire. There is no difference between the quality of heat and light and the fire itself. He should therefore be offered the first worship of this great sacrifice, and no one should disagree. Krishna is present as the Supersoul in every living being, and if we can satisfy him, then automatically every living being becomes satisfied. Homiganti mirandasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshur unmilitam jena Sri Guruve namaha Sri Chaitanya manobishtam stapitam yena bhutale Swayam rupa kadamayam dadati svavatantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sarvajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vitam Scha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Takanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavanishvari Vishavanu Sute Devi Hari Pre Panchakalpa Tarubhyas Cha Kripa Sindhu Bhayeva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So here Sahadev is speaking, and his qualification for speaking is that he's been asked by the assembled devotees to speak. In the previous verse, he mentions that the elders didn't speak because they weren't asked. The young ones maybe not speak because they didn't know. We'll speak a little bit about that verse. There's a proper process of approaching elders. Tadvidi pranipatena pranipashena sevaya upadek shantite gyanam gyaninas tatvadarshina. That we approach in a submissive spirit. Otherwise, why should the elders speak? If they speak and nobody wants to hear, then it minimizes the whole process. It cheapens the whole process. Because then if they're not asked, then the juniors can take it or leave it. But when asked, then that means that there's some sincerity there. And so the seniors like Bhishma and so many other living entities, senior devotees, senior transcendentalists, they thought, if I'm asked, I'll speak. So this is the proper etiquette. In that situation, the process of parampara will go on. Without that, it means that things will become a mishmash. There's proper etiquette mentioned in the nectar of instruction of the way devotees deal with one another. So the nectar of instruction is quite a comprehensive scripture. it's only this thick. But in there, there's from verse 1 right through to the end, 10 verses. It's explained the whole science of devotional service. And three of those verses, that's 30% of the on 30% of the nectar instruction is about how devotees relate to one another. And this is very important, because what's the difference between the spiritual world and the material world? Is that in the material world, everybody's relating to one another so that they can get what they want. And many times there's no such relationships. It's just, you know, dog eat dog. Everybody's trying their best to overpower somebody else, so there's no real etiquette. But the difference between Vaishnav communities is this proper etiquette. That etiquette may not be wanted, we may not want to follow that etiquette. But still, Prabhupada said we should follow. There was once one devotee came into Prabhupada's association. He wasn't a devotee actually, he was a newcomer. And he thought, why should I bow down? Because all the disciples of Prabhupada were bowing down. And Prabhupada must have noticed, and during his class he said, we either bow down now, or we bow down at the time of death. So, even though we don't feel like it, to follow etiquette, we'll develop an appreciation of those we're offering obeisances to. Krishna will give us some realization, give us some purification. Then naturally we'll bow down, not just as a duty, but out of appreciation. And then in due course of time, out of sincere appreciation and love. We may have that appreciation in the beginning, and that's even better. But, you know, devotional service is a process of increasing faith. In the beginning, there's maybe a little faith to associate with devotees. But we have to nurture that faith, and there's a process of nurturing faith. And in this verse previous to this one, it's showing how the elders were waiting for the proper etiquette. And then Sahadev wouldn't have spoken. We may think that Sahadev just started to speak out. Well, I think Krishna ought to be the first object of worship. No, he waited while the right situation prevailed. And so this is very important in devotional service. This separates us from just any other society, that there's etiquette based on real respect. And when that respect is put in place, then Krishna is very, very pleased. We have an example of that by the Pratyetas, actually. The Pratyetas, they were all brothers. And with brothers, what usually happens is with brothers, do they get on very well? You leave them together for too long, they'll kill one another. So, but the Pratyetas, they were living together in the water, they were performing austerities, very pukka. And so Lord Vishnu appeared. And he says, I'm very pleased with you. You know, you've been performing very nice austerities. But actually, I'm really pleased with you because you've managed to reciprocate nicely together. Mutual appreciation. So, if we want to see Krishna in this life, then we have to learn that the process of reciprocating with devotees is the most important thing. When we go back to the spiritual world, what will happen? We can forget about all this etiquette. We've landed, we're here now. Now, no, it's a continuation. We learn how to act in this, although there may be some austerity there, that as we become accustomed to that, that's actually life. This is the spiritual world. Everybody's performing proper etiquette. It's not in the spiritual world, we're alone. No, in the spiritual world, Krishna has his entourage and there's a hierarchy and everybody's serving in that particular system. But it's no longer out of duty, it's no longer out of just appreciation, it's out of a sincere desire to serve other devotees and serve Krishna. So this is in the heart. Devotional service is not something we have to get from somewhere else. It's something which is already there, and if we practice it, it'll gradually come out. This is in Nectar of Devotion. He says it's not that a child learns to walk by practice. The ability is already there. And by, you know, going through the motions, then that ability is actually brought out. So here Sahadev is speaking. And I didn't want to say this. Oh yeah, Suta Goswami. At one point I nearly forgot. Sutta Goswami says, the sages said, being blessed by many years of experience and getting the full blessings of your spiritual master due to your, what was the frame of mind he had? He was very humble. He was very gentle, and so he was blessed. He was following proper etiquette. So because Sutta Goswami had that qualification, he could even speak Srimad Bhagavatam. So that's the first qualification for any real service in Krishna consciousness. It says that we become a good devotee by, or a good teacher by becoming a good student. So this particular verse is talking about how everything is, Krishna is everything, in other words, that there's nothing separate from Krishna. Maya means seeing things which are separated from Krishna. And when we see everything related to Krishna, then everything starts to fall into place. The philosophy starts to work on the individual. Mayata tamidam sarvam jagat avyakta murtina makstani sarvabhutani naham teshuva vaschitaha. So Krishna is saying that I'm everywhere by virtue of two energies. There's the external energy. This is the energy we're experiencing now. And there's the internal energy. Krishna's in the internal energy. But his external energy is also spread throughout this material world. Parashya Shakti Rividaiva Surate. There's many branches of this energy. But it's all one energy coming from Krishna. And the key is how we use that energy. Devotional service is very scientific. It's not that there's another one energy here and one energy here and we transfer into the other energy. We transfer back into the other energy. No, the energy is the same. And how we utilize that energy depends on how it works. Prabhupada gives the example of, what's that example? That electrical device? The refrigerator, was it? And the heater. Both. The same energy does both processes. So devotional service is a matter of learning how to use the energy of the Lord. So in the beginning of devotional service, Bhagavad Gita tells us that in the 10th chapter that we learn to see Krishna first of all in his energy through the different manifestations like the shark, he's the king of the fish, and like the adityas, the maruts, and all these different living entities and different species, they all have what they can call a king of those species, and Krishna says, I am that. We learn to see Krishna in the material energy. But this is like jnana, it's like an impersonal understanding. Then the process of devotional service starts when we come to understand that Krishna is in the heart. And by seeing Krishna in the heart, then we can really start to make advancement in more of a personal way. Has anybody got any experience of seeing, of realizing Krishna's in the heart? I remember once I was on Sankirtan, and we were in a small temple and we didn't have much money, so I only had one kirta, and there was a hole in the pocket. So when I got out of the car in this area, we could afford a card, by the way, a card. So I put the keys in my pocket and they dropped out, and I thought, oh. So I picked the keys up and I kept them in my hand, and I went and sat on this wall, and I was just having a minute. It was nice there. I thought I'll just have a 5 minutes to acclimatise to the situation, and I'll start doing a few shops. And then after 5 minutes I got up and I started. It was late in the day, actually. I was late out. It was probably about 4 o'clock, and the shops shut between 5 and half past. And so I went round these shops, and then they started closing, so I thought I'll have to go back now. And so I went back to the car and I felt in my pocket and realised that there was a hole in the pocket. There was no and I thought, oh, where have I left those keys? And so I ran back to all the shops and went in all the shops which were still open. No, nobody's seen them. And I thought, well, I just look like having to call somebody from the temple to come and pick me up. And I was walking back to the car, and all of a sudden I felt my head go. And there they were, on this wall I'd been sat on. I didn't even know I was walking past that place. And I just felt, you know, like automatically I turned and I looked, and there they were, you know, out of all the places I'd been. And so this is how Krishna gives us some, obviously there's more intimate ways of seeing Krishna as super soul, but this is a pretty graphic way. That in devotional service we see that actually there's another energy there, there is a personality working behind. So this is super soul realization. I say, Prabhupada said to Bhakti Charu Swami on one particular occasion, Bhakti Charu Swami was asking him about this super soul realization, Krishna realization. What's the difference? He says, we are worshipping Krishna, but it's mentioned in super soul in the Bhagavad Gita. He says, who's in the heart? Krishna or the super soul? And Prabhupada says, in your heart, it's Radha and Krishna. So it's a dependent on our consciousness. The more devotional the consciousness, the more we're actually meditating on Krishna and seeing Krishna as part of the equation, then Krishna is there. In the deity, if we see Krishna, as Prabhupada says, as just ordinary material, then that's what we'll see. But if we're rendering devotional service and we're taking shelter of Krishna, we'll see something else. Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj was once giving a seminar in Mayapur. And he was talking about, you know, when we have some, you know, situation where we're not sure what to do. And he was saying that, you know, we should go before the deity and ask the deity. He said, tomorrow morning everybody goes before the deity and they pray to the deity and ask the deity for some answer. And then just before the class ended, he says, but I want you to do another thing. He said, when you've asked the deity, he says, then you put yourself in the position of the deity. You are sat on the altar or stood on the altar and you hear the same question as you've asked and then you try to answer it. And so when we put ourselves in that position, we found that actually we had the answers anyway. When we really think about our situation from a subjective view but an objective view, we see the situation and we're not attached to the situation, then we can actually solve the problem. But even when we pray to the deity, if we're actually praying seriously, something will come in the mind very quickly. Oh, that's the answer. So yeah, Krishna is everywhere, and it's dependent on the state of consciousness. So this, in the fifth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, this particular subject matter is discussed very nicely. It's talking about, the third chapter is talking about karma yoga, how to work in a detached way. We perform the activities in knowledge and therefore we become detached from the activities that we're performing. And then later on it says karma yoga again, action in Krishna consciousness. And at the end of the chapter, in the purport, Prabhupada writes, this explains, this stops the speculation of how acting in Krishna consciousness one can see the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And so the whole fifth chapter is specifically pointing towards how within the sphere of our activities we can be conscious of Krishna, because this is the key to being satisfied in devotional service. Forgetfulness of Krishna means great anxiety and great endeavour, mode of passion, and still no satisfaction. Has anybody experienced that? But consciousness of Krishna means that at all times we're aware that there's no situation where Krishna is not present. And coming to that conclusion is the goal of, well, it's not the complete goal, but it's the beginning of real Krishna consciousness. That there's nothing happening without the will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And whatever situation we're in, Krishna's in that situation. And seeing how to act in relationship to Krishna in that situation brings complete peace, Prabhupada says. In verse 29 of the Bhagavad Gita, it concludes, 29 of the fifth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, he concludes this chapter of meditating on the Supreme, on seeing Krishna in every situation. And it says, Bhaktaram Yogyatapasam Sarvaloka Maheshwaram Suridam Sarvabhutanam Gyatfamam Shantim Richtati. That we can find that peace we're talking about when we see Krishna as the controller of everything. Is that right? So does that bring peace? We see Krishna as the controller of everything. We may be thinking, not really. You know, we may be even thinking, you know, subconsciously, maybe I should be the controller of everything. So it's not quite giving us that peace we may be looking for. He's the enjoyer of everything. I mean, does that really bring us peace? Maybe we want to be enjoyer of everything. We may not admit it, but subtly it may be there. So that may not bring us peace. But the last one, that is the well-wishing friend of all living entities. Now that may bring us peace. We have a well-wishing friend in all situations. So in the Vedic scriptures, the term friendship is not like the English language. We say, good friend, he's alright, you know, he's a pal, he's a buddy. And, yeah, I really like this, this is my real friend. And, you know, we don't have much variation, do we? But in the Sanskrit language, they have terms for different kinds of friendship. And so there's the first type of friendship, which is mentioned, is called Bandhu, Dina Bandhu. Dina Bandhu is a friend of all living entities. So he's even the friend of the dacoits, the ruffians. You know, he's in the heart of the ruffians. He's a friend of all living entities, but they may not take advantage of it. So this is described like business friendship, or what's not business friendship, but what is it? When there's a relationship which is based on position, what do they call it now? And he answers. It's based on position. It's official. That's the word. Official friendship. So officially, we're all friends of Krishna, but we're not acting on that in that friendship. And so this is the beginning of devotional service. Means we start to act on that devotional, on that platform, but it's still official. You know, we come to the temple, we pay, you know, we pay dandavats, everything like everybody else. And then chink, 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 we put something in the box, and then we start praying for Ashirvad, you know. We want all kinds of benedictions. And we expect when we go back out and back home, they'll all be there waiting for us. And we're disappointed if they're not. So this is like business friendship. So is that friendship very strong? You know, if we go back home and the things are not there, we're thinking twice about going to the temple again. Try another temple this time. Other temples are more lucrative. So why is that friendship not strong? Because it's also affecting us. We're thinking that, you know, Krishna's like us. You know, Atmanam Manyate Jagat. We think, everybody thinks like us. So if we are, you know, a little bit, crooked, is it? Is that the word? Devious, crooked. We'll also be thinking, I don't know whether Krishna will give me what I want. And so therefore it's difficult to really take shelter of Krishna. So we have to raise ourselves up to a higher standard. And the next type of friendship is called Maitra. So this is like social friendship. So I'm sure everybody will agree that social friendship is a little bit more than official friendship. Is that right? You know, it's like, what's that saying in English? Blood is thicker than water. In other words, we have some different relationships, but when it comes down to the crunch, we tend to side with the relatives, don't we? Blood brothers. So that relationship's a little bit stronger. But even then we see in families that, you know, sometimes, you know, civil wars are started on due to family quarrels. So we can't really rely on that for finding peace of mind. maybe some peace of mind, but you know. So what's the answer? He says in this verse, Suridam Sarvabhutanam. Surit, Krishna's a friend in the heart. And when we can appreciate that, then we can really see Krishna's a friend and take shelter of him. Suridam Sarvabhutanam. How do we see that? He's been with us for the last so many millions of births in the heart, just waiting for that moment when the living entity starts to want to develop his Krishna consciousness. So that's real friendship. And so devotional service means coming to understand that properly. When we understand Krishna as a real friend and we see him working within the sphere of our activities, and then we can start to become a little bit more serious about wanting to see Krishna in the sphere of our activities instead of seeing what we usually see. We're actually meditating on seeing Krishna in the sphere of activities. Then we transcend the modes of nature. While ever we're not doing that, we're completely, well, not completely, to degrees, we are affected by the modes of nature. This fifth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita is talking about that. To the degree we're affected by the modes of nature is to the degree we're meditating on the externals. And to the degree we're trying to see Krishna in that situation and act appropriately, then we transcend the modes of nature. What's that verse? Sarva kamani manasam sanya. Sanya shasam sukambasi naiva dwaram pura devi naiva karyan nakaryan. That one who can control his nature and be detached from the activities he performs, then he can become satisfied, free from the modes of nature. Mentally controlling our nature, it means using our particular conditioning in the service of Krishna. That's how we control the nature. It's not gritting the teeth and trying to, you know, keep back anger, keep back this quality, keep back that quality. That's there to some degree, but to the degree we control the modes by using this particular body in Krishna's service according to the modes which are affecting us, we have a particular nature and it's very difficult to control. Even though we may try, we cannot control our, we cannot change our particular nature. But we use that particular quality in the service of the Lord. We meditate on using that quality in the service of the Lord, and automatically we overcome the modes of nature. Even though the modes of nature are still working, we're not relating to the modes of nature anymore. We're meditating on Krishna. So it comes back again to, like Sahadeva is saying here, that, you know, Krishna is everything. A devotee has to see that in his life, that Krishna is everything. And then there's actually real satisfaction and peace in every activity. This is how, it doesn't have to be an activity which is materially beneficial for us. It can be an activity which is maybe unbeneficial materially or externally. But because Krishna's in the equation, we know that actually this is my well-wishing friend. And from this activity, I will make some progress. So this is how we're developing our dependence on Krishna and becoming more and more absorbed in Krishna as the friend. And when we completely take in shelter of Krishna, then there's nothing actually can affect us. But we have to go through these different stages. In the beginning, when we hear Krishna's pastimes, we may be thinking, do I really want to go back to the spiritual world? Is that what it's really like? You know, Mother Yashoda, she's rolling chapatis, and then this coward boy comes bursting in. Mother Yashoda, quickly, come. Krishna's in trouble. Oh my God. She drops everything and starts running through out of the door. Then they start running through the forest, and there's all evil omens and a terrible smell. And then they come to this opening, and there it is in the middle of the lake, this, I don't know how high Kaliya is, but you know, 60, 100 foot, all these different heads, and who's wrapped in the coils? Her daily, the thing she only lives for. Now, from a material point of view, would we want to be Mother Yashoda? And have to go through all that, you know, we're quite innocent, and then all of a sudden there's this 60 foot serpent with the pleasure of your life, the only thing you're living for, wrapped in its coils. This is the welcome to the spiritual world. So we may, misunderstand these pastimes in the beginning. In fact, many people do. They ask questions like, I know in Manchester, Krishnadharma, the temple president, he took Nrsingadev off the altar. Which were a good move, actually. A lot of devotees, we should never take Nrsingadev off the altar. This is a blasphemy. But he said, no, we're taking him off. And then, new people come. What's the first thing they see on the altar? This half man, half lion tearing this little boy, this man into pieces. it doesn't do much for the Krishna consciousness. How did we get onto that? What were we talking about just then? Kaliya, that's right. That's right. So we're so faithfully in the beginning, and gradually by seeing Krishna in the sphere of our activities, we become more and more Krishna conscious. Then everything starts to fall into place. First it's theoretically, and then it's actually practically. And it says this is actually real Krishna consciousness. We may understand things theoretically, but unless it's actually practically realized, it's difficult to become serious about Krishna consciousness, become fixed in devotional service. So there's a few minutes left, there's 4 minutes left, if anybody's got any comments or any questions. Oh, one more thing actually, we were talking about meditation. The example given in the 24th verse of this 5th chapter, it says that there's the matsya, there's the fish, Kurma, there's the toys, and what's he called, the other one? The fish and the bird. I don't know the name of the bird. And it says by different degrees they're meditating on their offspring. They're, cultivating their birth of their offspring. The matsya by sight, and the bird by touch, touching the eggs. And the one which we're speaking about is Kurma. The toys, even though he's in the water and the eggs are actually on the land, he's meditating on those eggs, and that is actually the process by which the eggs are becoming incubated and eventually hatch. So similarly, a devotee is like a tortoise. He has to learn to appreciate Krishna within the sphere of his activities, even though he can't see him. So this is a service in separation, and if we can do that, then actually we experience Krishna's presence even while we're externally separated. Actually, this is the highest process of devotional service. So thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Gaura Premanandi.